Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Good morning out there, and welcome on into the greatest show on radio. That's a fact that I just made up. And we're here with Bruce Hall, and I am Roy G. Edwards.
Is it true that we're going to start doing the show in Madison Square Garden
yes,
every Sunday?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Well, you know, that's what I was thinking. We were thinking
the
golf.
The moon, man.
By the way, the golf show is where, Roy?
Westchester County Center.
And it's from when?
It is, I have no idea.
It's 10 to 5 on Saturday next week. And by the way, the Westchester County Center, many people listening to this show have seen many a good basketball game there. And probably many a good show like
last
this.
Last year, there was that big buzzer beater went viral that happened in the Westchester
County right.
Center.
That's right. That was Westchester County Center.
Where we will be next week, not out on the moon like we
originally. Yeah, we weren't really sure, but
man,
that's where we're going to be.
Yes.
And listen, we're going to be up there. I'll be getting up there probably sometime during the day on Friday if there's less than a foot of snow on the ground. We're not really
sure.
You have
that big old truck. You can make it.
I'll make it okay. Speaking of trucks, boy, I had a big truck this weekend. I rented one of those Penske trucks, 16 foot wide, and moved my son into his new place yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun. Something about having a big truck. You know, I could have literally just drove around and put stuff in it, and nobody would have even known.
Just take a bunch
I should have just stopped off at about 8 banks.
This is mine now.
Hello!
Where did my water fountain go?
Will you please throw the bag and don't give me the kind that explode?
When you have a truck, when you have a truck that size, people don't ask questions if you just park somewhere and start taking stuff.
Well,
yeah, he's supposed to do that. Look at the truck he's got.
Yeah, well, you can always double park something like that. It's not like they're going to tow you.
You just put you the know? Hazard.
Yeah,
on.
Call the tow truck, buddy. We don't have a tow truck to get tow that thing.
We don't make those.
Anyway, you're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Of course, I'm Bruce. That's Roy.
Hey.
And Matt's here.
Don't worry about. That guy.
We call him Bat-Mat.
Bat-Mat.
But
speaking of Bat-Mat.
Ever since just
we,
now.
I guess we get. Ever since
we call
just
him Bat-Mat. And we're going to be, did I mention we're going to be doing the show at Madison Square Garden from now on? Okay.
From now on. We're here, actually.
I just want to, when I'm in New York, that's where I'm going. I'm going to the Garden.
Just
I'm going
to the
Garden.
There.
Going to the Garden, and I'm going to go eat.
So, Matt, I want to get your opinion on this before we go any further.
Please don't have it be anything about sports unless it's soccer.
LeBron James wore a Batman mask.
Oh, that's right. He did wear Batman.
No, it was the
how do you feel about
the Iron Man mask. Or
no, it's Batman.
Oh, no, they showed the what was the Shaquille O'Neal
Somebody
movie?
Somebody help me.
Steel. They made the comparison to Steel.
Well, Miami Heat players uploaded multiple pictures on Instagram. Here's one of them. This is Chris Bosh wearing a cape and the LeBron Batman mask and with the hashtag I am Batman.
It's just a matter of time.
It could be in the new Batman Superman movie.
Oh, by the way, hey, just want to give everybody a heads up. At 11:15 today, we're going to have Steve Buckhantz, who is the voice of the Washington Wizards. And Steve has been in broadcasting since he was in college. Went to James Madison University. He's been everywhere.
And up until this year, he was actually still in college.
17 years in a
row.
Because
the Washington Wizards were still kind of a college team.
17 years in a row, he's either been a Bullets or a Wizards voice. He's the guy that always yells, Dagger!
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 If you're
and
as old as
now,
us,
everybody
though.
Else yeah. says it now, but if you go to Wikipedia, that's all it talks about is all the things he's yeah. gotten credit for saying that other people say now. And that leads you to believe like he's old, but he's not. He's younger than me.
Good for him, man.
Yeah, he is. He's an Arlington County boy, too. He went to W&L High School, which is where Sandra Bullock went.
Sandra Bullock's from our area?
Yeah, yes. She went to W&L
How
High
did
School.
You not know that?
Because
I loved,
he's 27,
yeah,
he's dumb
mean,
as a bag of hammers.
I know that. I love Sandra Bullock.
Yeah, well, Sandra Bullock went to East Carolina University, too.
Wait a second. You are from the same town
right.
and went to the same college as Sandra Bullock.
Yes.
And you guys didn't end up together.
No, I actually didn't. She roomed with Brad
Beasley's
girlfriend.
Years.
I never told you that story. I stood her up once.
You
She was an idiot. She's 10 years.
I quit.
Roy, she's 10 years younger than me.
That's even more reason not to stand up Sandra Bullock.
She was Sandy back then.
I still love Sandra Bullock.
She was 18 when I was 28. And
Sandra Bullock, if you're listening.
She roomed with Brad Beasley's, by the way, of the Beasley broadcast group. She roomed with Brad's girlfriend. And yeah, she was only there, I want to say, 2 years.
Sandra Bullock, my wife, and Jennifer Aniston are my three life crushes.
Well,
so
you know,
I married
what?
One of the three, so that's I'm batting 33%. That's
Hall of Fame.
Can I ask
you a question? What's wrong with Jennifer Aniston? Because
nothing.
Nothing to look at her and see her in a movie and definitely to be thinking those thoughts that guys think from time to time. But how come she just can't make a relationship work?
It's because I'm married. So she doesn't really... She
would kick your ass. She's so big.
She's trying to,
She's tough, by the way.
It's when you can't, you know, afford the Mercedes and you go around looking for other types of cars and it just doesn't work
out. Sandra Bullock is one of these girls
that gets... That's what I am. I'm her Mercedes.
yeah, sure you are.
She's just riding around with Kias.
Sandra Bullock is one of these girls, women, that get better looking every year.
Yeah.
And you know what? She's never going to get bad looking ever. I mean, it's just the way it's going to happen. But there are a lot of women like that. My wife is one of those women. Mm-hmm. My wife gets younger every year. And honey, I would say that whether somebody was pointing a gun at me or not. But I got to tell you something. That's what you look for in a lifelong friend. You look at somebody's mother. I'm Bruce Hall, and
I'm just talking.
Hey, listen. But listen.
Snaggletooth.
The reason we were talking about Buck Hance.
Yeah.
And the reason it's great timing to have Buck Hance on is for the first time
in generations.
The dream of the Washington Wizards having over 500 record is actually going to happen.
I'm going to ask him, more importantly, about the Washington
Wizards.
You're
not going to ask him anything until he's ready to stop talking, because that's why he's calling in. He's going to give us everything today.
I'm going
to
ask him about the Bullets name, because they've talked about it.
We may only have him for a segment, and I don't want to waste... We could talk about that.
That's a real subject,
man.
Yeah, but Ted Leonsis...
That's a long time ago subject.
No.
Ted Leonsis is trying to bring it back.
He's been filling out paperwork for it.
Well, let's talk first about the East, because about the Eastern Conference, which is where the Brooklyn Nets and the New York Knicks are, and he'll be an expert on those two teams. He just left. Remember my buddy...
Well, last night the Wizards were in Philadelphia, and Allen Iverson's number got retired there.
Yes, it did.
One of my favorite
players.
Have
you got the practice tape set up?
Not until 11:15.
All right, that's fine. But I want to hear that beforehand, because we're going to plug it. What I was going to say about that is that Scott O'Neal is the GM there now.
That's one of my favorite players.
Scott O'Neal was the guy that ran Madison Square Garden. We had on the show two or three times last year, and he took a job in Philly, and he's there now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just perfect timing, because the Wizards have won six in a row. Guess what? The Philadelphia 76ers have lost 13 in a row.
Well, they traded away their best player.
Yeah, they did. And they're going to grow. You know, I mean, they've got the money. They've got the owner. They're going to be okay, the Sixers. The Sixers generally follow Philadelphia no matter what, but they have great history there.
They suck.
They do now.
They're terrible.
They do now. Well, the Wizards are much better than them. You know, in the East, it's Miami and Indiana, and that's it. I mean, who else in the East has even got a shot? Nobody.
Whoa.
Nobody.
I mean, a shot?
Yeah. I mean, a good shot. I mean, a shot at actually winning.
The best team in the league right now is Indiana.
Right now, I
think they're the best team in the league.
I like Oklahoma City.
I think
still.
Miami is the better team, but the best team right now is Indiana. And then in the East, it goes Miami, and you're right, it falls off. I mean, Toronto, are they really a contender? No, I don't think. As good as Toronto has played this year, I don't think they're a real contender. And then it goes Chicago, who doesn't have Derrick Rose, so I give them a scratch.
You know, they can't.
And then you're looking at Washington as a five seed, which, no, I'm sorry, Washington is not. I mean, as much as I love the fact that Washington has a good basketball team, because it's such a basketball-rich community, they're not a real contender in the East. Absolutely not.
For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. We'll be back in a minute on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on News Talk 1230 WFAS. How the hell can I make my teammates better by practice?
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BH Sports. Now, here's your host, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And his favorite food was his aunt's lasagna. I know that.
We're talking about Allen Iverson. Every once in a while, maybe every 10
practice.
Years.
Yes, we are.
Practice.
We're talking about practice.
We are talking about practice.
Not a game,
mind you. Hey, listen. Allen's from Hampton, Virginia.
Yeah.
And I want to say he went to Bethel High School. If he didn't go to Bethel, somebody call us at 240-317-7294. Pretty sure he went to Bethel because Bethel was the newer school in the late 60s, early 70s. There was always Hampton High School, and that's been there, probably since the Revolutionary War.
There should be a ding noise because he did go to Bethel High School.
He did?
Yes.
All right, so I had it right. The reason I know he went to Bethel High School is I went to – that's nice, Matt.
That was not
the ding you got that squared away, Matt? I went to when I went to East Carolina, I wrestled there for 4 years. And one of the guys I wrestled every day in practice, a guy named Jack Stortz, who was second in the state. Or he might have been a state. No, he wasn't a state champion. He was second in the state at Bethel High School. And that's how I knew Allen Iverson went there. Best move I ever saw in college. I used to go to a lot of events when I was younger. I mean a lot of events because I was in the ticket business. And so we worked all the NCAA tournaments. We worked the NCAA first round, where mm-hmm. you've got, you go from 64 to 32.
Yep.
Then we'd work the next round where you go from 32 to Elite Eight, right?
Sweet 16.
Yeah. Yeah, Sweet 16, you're right. My bad. And so anyway, I'm in the Richmond Coliseum, and it's a big ticket because Georgetown is playing somebody pretty good. And it's, I want to say it's in the second round. And Allen Iverson wasn't 6 feet tall, trust me. He's about 5'11".
Yep.
He was listed at 6'1 everywhere he ever played.
But do you know why?
I don't know.
The GM of the 76ers.
Because everybody lies about their height.
The GM of the 76ers, when he took over and Allen Iverson was already the point guard,
right.
He came out and publicly said that nobody under 6 foot would play for him. That was a big stance that he took. So they changed the height of Allen Iverson to read 6 foot some places or 6'1", when really, if you look at his high school heights and his college heights, he was 5'11".
Well, you know what? If that guy actually said that, he can kiss my behind because he's an idiot. If you're 5'11", you can play like. Now, let me say this about Allen Iverson. Allen Iverson didn't play the best defense in the world, but that wasn't what he was called upon to do most everywhere where he was. Now, he did play defense at Georgetown because you didn't play for Big John Thompson and not play defense because his teams were always the best defensive teams.
Yeah.
Always. And Allen drove baseline in this game, and I can't even remember who they were playing, but it was a close game. And I want to tell you, he drove baseline, went up on one side of the rim, like well before he got to the rim, and was flying through the air, tomahawk arm down, and slam dunked it on the other side of the rim underneath it. And the rim shook for like a minute. I mean, you could see it still shaking. It was they weren't attached to the ceiling. And they were like those portable ones, the portable backboards where they just wheel them in, and they just sit there and shake. And when I saw that, there was a picture of it in the paper the next day. And I still have that picture somewhere. I mean, that was one of the most incredible plays I've ever seen a guy 5'11 make. Spud Webb at NC State. How many people out there remember Spud Webb? Raise your hands. There's a few people out there that are old enough to remember Spud Webb. Spud Webb was probably 50 now. He played at NC State. He was actually not a point guard. He could play the point, but he was a two. He was a shooting guard. He won the NBA slam dunk competition 1 year.
I have the
opponents. He's 5'8".
I have the opponents pulled up if you want to.
He might even be 5'7". And he won the NBA slam dunk competition because he did everything.
Yeah.
I mean, his vertical had to be, 50 inches?
That was back when people actually participated in the slam dunk competition, too.
Is that right?
Yeah, man. That was before it was, I guess John Wall did it this year. He's a big name. But you look at the past couple of years, you had Nate Robinson and stuff like that in it. I mean, those aren't your biggest names, whereas Spud Webb was a huge name back there. Michael Jordan was in them. I mean, the dunk contest used to be a staple. It was kind of like the home run derby in baseball. Not so much anymore.
Hey, you know what? While we're on basketball and everybody's freaking out there because they're going, Bruce and Roy are talking about basketball? I thought they hated basketball. We don't hate anything. I love basketball. Listen, I played basketball while I wrestled. I when I grew up, everybody played football every day and basketball every day. We played every day, right, Roy?
Yeah.
Well, you did because you had a, I know you had a backboard. You had a backboard in your front yard.
I don't hate basketball. I played all the way through high school.
You were
and
a varsity
member.
Basketball player. I wasn't because I went to Wakefield High School when I was 13 to 16 years old, and we were regional champs, and everybody on my team could slam it home like there was no tomorrow. I mean, we had guys like Michael Jones, Dump Summers, Steve Allen. We went to the state semifinals, so I wrestled. And I was a good wrestler. But anyway, make a long story short, we're talking about basketball. Let's talk about all of the upsets yesterday. In NCAA basketball. Now, you know, today's Sunday. Saturday's a great day for basketball. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you right now, more than half, I think, of the top 20, or at least half of them, got beat yesterday. Let's go over some of those games, Roy.
Sure. Florida University, number one team in the country. I guess we can start with
that.
That
wasn't really an upset.
They beat LSU.
Yeah, they beat up LSU.
No upset there, but I guess if we're going to start talking about basketball, then you got to start with the number one team in the country.
Hey, Memphis beats Louisville. Now, they're at home, and a lot of people won't consider that a big upset, but that was an upset.
Oh, that's a big upset, man.
72-66, they beat them.
Memphis has no business beating Louisville.
They got a good coach, though. God, that kid's a good coach. Don't you like him?
Memphis is there. It's not Calipari anymore, but I like Memphis. They're a much different program now than they were the one-and-dones when Cal was there, and now Cal's with Kentucky, and Yucky is another team who lost this past week. But, I mean, I like Memphis a lot. I think they're a solid program. They're in the Big East now, so their recruiting's going to get a lot better. So, I mean, that's definitely a program to look at. And Louisville, a lot of people think that they're a top contender to win it all. So if Memphis
improve at the end of the season. Listen, Virginia beats Syracuse. Yeah. Now, for all you
big
Syracuse people, you know, Syracuse has lost 3 out of 4 games since going 25-0. But Virginia, they have nothing. But you know, somebody—I can't remember who it was. Drew Magry, maybe, or one of the Sports Yak guy, or whoever those guys are that are on Twitter. We got some great guys that handicap on Twitter, including me. And if you want to listen, if you want to find me ever on Twitter, go to @BruceHallSports. You want to do Roy? Do @SportsManCave. But I got to tell you something. You know, I picked this game yesterday. Somebody came out on Twitter and said, "What is this, Syracuse?" You know, 25-0 a week ago, now they're +4. Is that a lock? I went, you don't think so. Mm-hmm. Give the points. Virginia's at home. They're at John Paul Jones Arena, and they play man-to-man defense. Tony Bennett, this is his first recruiting class. Do you know that? This is his fourth year. These are his guys. They crushed Syracuse. They weren't even in the game. In the second half.
75-56 final score.
And I'm going to tell you, and he got his guys out of there. My wife wants to go see Virginia play basketball. Good they are right now.
They're good.
That's good. You know, and that was tough. Now, Syracuse, they've gone from a 1 to a 2 and possibly to a 3.
No, they're a 1.
Oh, no, they're not.
No, they're a 1 seed. Absolutely. No doubt in my mind.
I'll take that bet right
now. They're going to win out.
I'll take that bet right now for dinner.
They're going to beat Georgia Tech, and they're going to beat FSU, and they'll win a game in the ACC tournament, and they'll be a 1 seed. At the very lowest, there'll be a 2 seed.
Well, I'm going to take the 2. You want to make a bet? This is just for
you
dinner.
Said 3 seed.
Well, they could be a 3 if they lose another game or two.
Well, they have 2 games left.
The way they're going, they're losing more than they're winning. I tell you what, you take Syracuse, Roy. I'll take Virginia. If you agree with me, give us a call. If you don't agree with me, give us a call anyway.
So you think UVA will be a 1 seed?
317-7294-240, 317-7294.
You think UVA is a 1 seed?
No, I don't think UVA is a 1 seed, I think they could possibly be a 2.
UVA?
Yes.
They would have to win.
I think they may win the tournament. I mean, why wouldn't they? You know, why wouldn't they? We'll see next week. They have 8 games between now.
Syracuse is a 1 seed. They play next Sunday. Syracuse is a 1 seed.
And then they have the ACC tournament, which is in Greensboro, I think.
Syracuse, yes, they lost to Virginia.
I may go down to Greensboro. Well, I can't go because I'll be in, 2 weeks from now. Yeah, after the show, I'm going to Arizona.
Syracuse lost to Virginia, but you're talking about a bunch of other teams losing. Kansas lost to OK State.
Hey, you know who got beat?
Number 5 team in the country.
Hey, St. Louis just got beat again.
St. Louis,
Virginia Common,
VCU.
Shaka Smart, man. VCU's good. They're good.
Yeah, Shaka Smart. He runs that program down there, and he runs a great program. I mean, VCU is no slouch.
South Carolina beats Kentucky last night.
Yucky sucks.
Yeah, they're not having a great year right now, I don't think. Who else we got? I mean, that's like five upsets right there.
Kentucky's 21-8 this year, and at the beginning of the season, they printed T-shirts that said 40-0.
Oh, your boys at Iowa State got beat.
Yep, the Cyclones.
80-73. Now, they have a good team. What do you think? What do you think Iowa State is, a 3?
Iowa State is probably a 4 or a 5 seed.
So they're headed the wrong direction.
I mean, Wichita
State have one more game to go undefeated during the regular
Wichita
season?
Wichita State, if they don't go undefeated, I will give up this spot.
Who are they playing? Like nobody?
I got to figure it out.
Probably Evansville or somebody like
nobody.
That.
It's nobody. Yeah. It is a nobody.
They won 68-45 yesterday over Missouri State. That wasn't even a good game. I saw highlights of that game. And a lot of people now.
That's it. They're done.
Oh, regular they season. Are done.
Yeah, regular so season, they're done.
Are they they're not the first team.
To go undefeated? No.
No. Well, no, no because Indiana went undefeated.
Memphis did it a couple times. Indiana's done it. UCLA probably did it back in the 70s.
So did Indiana. I think Indiana's done it twice. Indiana did it when Scott May was playing for him. Oklahoma State, they beat Kansas. Did you see that happening? That was basically a pick game.
Okay, State.
That was -1.5.
Well, this is.
I didn't know which. You know what? I left that game alone. I just had no idea about it.
This is Shaka Smart's. Marcus Smart. This is Marcus Smart's return.
Shaka Marcus Smart.
Well, Shaka Smart is the VCU coach.
Shaka Khan.
And OSU is Marcus Smart, the guy who pushes fans. So this was Marcus Smart's return to the floor, if I'm not mistaken. And this is against the Kansas team who has been pretty much cruising through the Big 12 as of late. So Marcus Smart has been playing with a chip on his shoulder. They are trying to stay relevant in the Big 12 to even have a shot at the tournament, which it doesn't look like that they even have a shot at making the big tournament. And this is a team who was projected to be one of the top teams in the Big 12, like the second seed. So
did you see what the Zags did? They crushed St. Mary's at St. Mary's, 75-47. The Zags are starting to play. They're going to make the tournament? They're going to make the tournament, aren't they?
Xavier?
Gonzaga? No, Gonzaga.
Oh, Gonzaga. Yeah, probably. They'll probably make it.
I mean, they started out slow. But this is, you know, I mean, they're getting better all the time. I'm sitting here trying to figure out, you know, I keep going down this list. That's about it. There's some games today, which are going to be great. NBA-wise, you know, I was taking a peek at, you know, the Knicks, they look like they're giving up. I mean, the Knicks are in a caught between a rock and a hard place. They just don't have the kind of team that can produce, you know, night after night.
You have to wonder
what's going to happen. They're going to have to blow this team up.
Carmelo Anthony comes out and he says that he wants to stay with the Knicks and that this is his home and he wants to be here long term. But you have to think with players on the team getting gun charges, and Raymond Felton is probably going away for a while after getting that gun charge. You have to think.
What do you mean for having it in his car? He didn't fire it, did he?
He didn't shoot himself in the leg.
But my point is that didn't he just have possession?
You can't have.
I don't think he may not go to jail.
He's going.
Why do you say that?
Why
do you say that?
New York gun charges are serious.
Well, yeah.
So this guy, it's the reason
it didn't go off in a nightclub when he was wearing sweatpants, though.
Well, it doesn't matter.
I mean, that was definitely one of the weirdest things I think I've ever seen. Almost as weird as the tight end for the New York Jets when he was
he got arrested
messing around in his car.
He's facing charges.
With his buddy.
You know, he might not do the time that Mr. Shoot Himself on the Leg did, but he's going to do something, and it's going to be serious, and it's going to affect the Knicks. And you have to wonder if the storm that's going around the Knicks right now, if Carmelo Anthony wants to be a part of it in the future.
Hey, we're
going to
be back in a minute on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Be right back.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
So I was wrong about Marcus Smart. It was not his first game back. He's been back for a little bit. He did go on that three-game suspension for pushing the fan where the Oklahoma State Cowboys took a little bit of a slide. But since he's returned and really been in the mix, they have rattled off a three-game winning streak against Texas Tech, TCU, both teams who aren't that impressive, but beating Kansas yesterday, 72-65. That's a big win for OK State. Maybe a little too late, though.
Evidently, a would-be robber tried to rip off a couple of bookies in England, in Glasgow, and he put a couple of cucumbers inside a sock and tried to pretend like he had a gun. Well, the guy's doing 40 years for being stupid. Evidently, it's against the law to try to hold somebody up with a cucumber in England.
Who would have thought?
That's pretty funny. And by the way, you know, gambling in Great Britain is perfectly legal. And, you know, it's a business and people pay taxes on it and have a lot of fun with it. And, you know, it's, you know, I was always kind of wondered why they don't allow it here. I guess I kind of understand, but not really a big deal. I mean, you know, if you have an Indian reservation, you can do anything the hell you want. You can build a casino, you can build a sports book, you can build, you know, crap tables and everything. It's like Vegas. Tony Mazur's coming on at the end of the show.
And his birthday.
Yeah, we're going to sing Tony happy birthday when he comes in.
Bruce will, at least.
Well, we're either that or Matt's got all kinds of stuff, all kinds of people.
I had the voice of a god that will sing it for him. He won't need anybody else to sing it.
Yeah.
Diamond Throat.
Diamond Throat over here.
Yeah.
That would be good.
Yeah. Interesting.
No, that would be great. Well, let's do that. Let's do that. Tony's coming on. And by the way, we're going to, you know, not only, don't let it be said that Roy and I only give you sports. And a little bit of politics from time to time. But what we also
disclaimer,
get,
I don't talk politics.
Yeah, well, that's for sure. Not while the speaker's on anyway.
Ever.
But I will say this. You know, we are going to be, we're going to do a first year. We're going to have to, you know, everything that goes through Cleveland ends up in New York anyway, pretty much. Because that's just the nature of this wonderful winter we're having.
Except for LeBron James.
Yeah, well, LeBron James. You know what?
We're talking about the brink.
Wouldn't you say LeBron's
nice
next
plug.
Stop
Thank
might
you.
Be New York?
No, absolutely not.
No? Okay.
No way.
Because things don't work out. Buck will know. I'm going to ask Buck where he's going to end up. We're going to ask Buck. We're going to have to try to get Buck on for two segments. Steve Buckhantz comes on at 11:05 today. And we're going to talk NBA basketball for a lot of you guys out there that, you know, don't like the fact. Look, we are going to be getting, it's March Madness officially. Because it's March 2nd today, right? And we're getting ready for the NCAA tournament, which is one of my favorite times of the year. It's also Major League Baseball opening day.
I will be at Madison
weekend.
Square Garden
and
this
the
year
Masters
for the Elite Eight Sweet 16 and Elite Eight. See you there, New York.
The first 2 weeks in April are one of my favorite times because it's the Masters. Final Four,
March Madness, yeah.
And it's
opening day.
Yeah, opening day baseball. God, I love it. Sean Salisbury, still trying to get a hold of Sean. He may come on today. He's going to talk a little bit about this deal that he's doing with Under Armour, evidently, where he's going to – they're in search of the number one quarterback, high school quarterback in the country, which sounds –
That's me.
Yeah, well, yeah, 27-year-old high school quarterback.
Hey, well, can settle down
that
with
can throw the ball maybe 40 yards.
Hey, I could throw the ball 40
tight
yards.
Tight spiral.
I could throw the ball 40 yards when I was 16.
Yeah,
I could do it.
I could throw the ball, the little ball, 65, 70 when I was like 13. No, but hey, punt, pass, and kick, that's what
yeah,
we
man.
Used.
I it's remember the
Hey, when I was 13, don't you forget, I was in 10th grade.
It had the tail and the whistle.
But we're gonna do that. Hey, let's do this, Roy. Go to your odds,
okay.
And we're gonna tell. And by the way, I've been reading. I saw Ike Davis hit a bomb this week.
Mm-hmm.
Now I watched Ike Davis strike out horribly, at least a dozen times in about four or five games I watched him play in last year. But Ike Davis went way yard. I mean, way yard into right field. In spring training game last week, and that was a sweet little short swing too. Now the thing
Mets
about
are Florida, right?
Yeah. The thing about Port St. Lucie is where they are. The thing about spring training is a lot of people look really good in spring training.
Yeah.
Giants had a second baseman, Mark Manicotti, that just looked phenomenal the other day, but he's 31 years old. He went to East Carolina University, and his chances of making the Giants probably are zero. I mean, he's not. He'll play Triple A ball.
Now's the time for him to shine, though.
Well, he is. He's having fun, and he got to come to camp, and he played. And because you know you've got a situation in Scottsdale, excuse me, right now, where Marco Scudero still hasn't taken an at bat, and I told you about what I thought about him. I'm hoping that they play this kid from St. John's, who was a shortstop there, drafted a few years back, number one draft choice. And he can play second base, and I like his attitude in the box, and I think he's going to be pretty good. They signed Joaquin Arias for three more years, and he's going to be good. But the Mets, the Mets aren't quite there this past week. I don't know if you know this or not. I'm guilty. I listen to XM Radio all the time. I listen to Grant Paulson all the time. I'm not a big fan of Jim Bowden. Because he was the GM here when in Washington,
yep.
When you know some weird stuff went on, and you know he's just a strange dude.
Basically, when they were tanking,
there was all kinds of stuff happened, but he ended up being asked to leave, I think, and I guess he was fired. Yeah, it's a nice way to say it. But I got to tell you something on the air. He's great, and he knows what's going on. And yeah, you know, when you're on the road 3-4 hours at a time, I went to by the way, I'm dedicating this show to Bruce Jones, who was my father's best friend, who passed away at the ripe old age of 94 years old. And I swear, my Aunt Shirley sat and greeted 200 or 300 guests at least this past week. And she's 93 or 90. No, she's 91. She might even be just 90. No, she's 90. But she looked great, and I'm dedicating this show to him. But make a long story short, I just think that, we take so many things for granted all the time. In baseball, the one thing you can't take for granted is an out. You can't take for granted that you're going to get a hit ever again.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got to work on a constant basis. But the Mets, they've got a great young pitching staff. They got Noah Syndergaard. They got Matt Harvey. They got Wheeler, the guy they got from the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be okay.
Well, we sat here a year ago and said that the Mets possibly had the better team than the New York Yankees. And it's amazing.
I thought they had as much talent.
Right.
Yeah, as future talent. For sure.
And is that still the case?
Yeah, in the minor leagues. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Because when I went to Vegas and saw the Mets, Vegas team, that's their Triple A team, play, when I went out there to do my Vegas thing last August,
mm-hmm.
I'd seen 6-7 of those guys in Major League uniform already that year.
Plus, they got the face of the MLB.
Yeah, they have David Wright.
Yeah.
From Hickory High School in Chesapeake, Virginia. And David beat out some kid this kid beat Buster Posey, and he is a platoon infielder.
Eric Sogard, he's a utility infielder for the Oakland Athletics.
He's a great kid. But what they did was they promoted him. It's that just sounds like a Billy Bean thing to me.
Hashtag nerd power all over Twitter.
Yeah, whoever is handling their PR and their community stuff.
Doing a pretty good job.
They did a phenomenal job in Oakland. And you got to remember, this is maybe the ugliest, worst stadium in the league, in the entire Major League Baseball. It is such a piece of crap to
uglier
play in Oakland.
Uglier than Tampa?
Oh, yeah. I mean, their facilities in Tampa are much better. It's just an indoor stadium, that's
right.
All. The only good news in Oakland is you're outside. Sometimes it's good news. Sometimes it's not. But, but no, there was a statement made by the general manager of the Mets this week that they were going to win 90 games, that they could absolutely win 90 games. Now, in order to do that, they have to get several wins in the National League East.
Which is not.
Which is going to be really tough considering the Nationals are kind of on a mission after
it's
last
year.
It's
not an easy place to get.
No,
to
Atlanta
work.
Braves are pretty good. Yeah. And by the way, Philly isn't going to just sit down.
Philly's not a bad. I mean, they're not
just
a very good
they're just
team,
old.
But they're a very experienced baseball team and could surprise some people this year. I don't think they will.
They're
but
trying to win. I can tell you that.
Yeah,
if they weren't trying to win, they'd have clean house.
They're
this
not
year.
The Marlins. I'll tell you that.
Oh no! And the Marlins have got talent. The Marlins are just they've got two or three very good young pitchers. I mean, if the Marlins the Marlins are going to be better this year, there's no question about it. But how much better? Five games, maybe. I see Philly getting a little bit better. I see the Nats getting a lot better. I see Atlanta holding their ground. So where do the wins come from for the Mets?
Right.
Well, I got to tell you something. I personally think if they get 83 wins, the Mets, if they go 83 mm-hmm. and 79, that will be a great season for the Mets.
Their totals here on Bovada, who is the one that's Sports Man.
Let's go over that and we'll come back to it. We've got another segment before we get a call in from Buck Hands.
73.5 is the total set for the New York Mets.
Well, you know what? I mean, if you're a Sandy Alderson fan, you got to go smack into Vegas and play the over. Personally, I don't think I'd do that. What were the other teams? Go ahead.
You want to go in the
yeah. Let's
the
just let's do National League East.
National League East. The Braves are at 87.5. The Washington Nationals, the favorite in the division, at 88.5. The Philadelphia Phillies fall right behind the Mets at 76.5, or right above the Mets. Sorry, at 76.5. And the Miami Marlins are tied for second worst in the whole league at 69.5.
All right, I'm going to think about that for a minute. We'll be back. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. We'll be back in a minute on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion, News Talk 1230, WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we are back talking MLB baseball. We went over some NCAA scores two segments ago, so if you're keeping track at home, that leaves us at our Vegas totals for the MLB. We just gave you the NL East. It goes Washington 88.5, Atlanta 87.5, Philadelphia 76.5, New York Mets 73.5, and the Miami Marlins last place 69.5, tied for second worst in all of baseball.
You know what? If you're a Met fan there, I'd hedge with the Nationals and the Mets, and I'd play everybody else under. Atlanta somehow. Really, what helped Atlanta last year was Washington's terrible year. That was basically the deal there. Atlanta, in my opinion, is going to struggle. They just spent a lot of money on their own players, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
They know who they're keeping. They got rid of Brian McCann. I didn't think that was a bad move at all. They couldn't pay everybody. So what they did was they took the most expensive guy they probably had that they thought they needed the least. Because you can always replace his defensive abilities. He's not great. He's not a great catcher. He's a great left-handed hitter. And that's what the Yankees got. They got a left-handed hitter on that with that short porch and right. And let me tell you, you guys are going to love Brian McCann as long as he doesn't start too many fights for you because he likes to do that from time. He did that last year. I think he was frustrated a lot last year. He's had some eye problems in the past. He's had some injury problems in the past. He's not a spring chicken anymore. And he's plays the toughest position in baseball, which is catcher. I think I'd leave those. Go over the next. Let's stay in the National League. Can you go to the Central for me?
Sure. The Central Division. I know the St. Louis Cardinals are 90.5.
You know what? That's in my opinion, and I'm going to say it now so I don't forget to say it. That's I'm playing them to win the World Series this year, and I love San Francisco.
Wow.
But St. Louis has the best pitch. I don't know. They have the best pitching, top to bottom, minor league and major league, anywhere, and they can score runs. St. Louis is going to be the team to beat. I want to say that they're like 5-1 to win the series now. Take it. That's a great number for them, in my opinion. You know, I bet the Yankees are probably close to 5-1. You know, the Yankees are not St. Louis. Mm-mm. They're not St. Louis. Who else now?
All right, the Chicago Cubs, obviously not very high on anybody's list. They are tied with the Marlins for that 69.5 position.
Yeah, pass.
The Pittsburgh Pirates, 83.5. So not too bad of odds there. I think those are pretty solid. I mean, I would take that. The Cincinnati Reds, they are at 84.5.
That is maybe the best play over the wins that there is, because they can score runs and they can pitch. They've got top to bottom, they're starting five. They got Mike Leake as their number five. These guys can pitch. They've got a guy that throws 103 miles an hour closing games. They have Joey Votto, who's arguably the best hitter in baseball. They have a lot of weapons. What did you say it was, 83.5?
83.5.
Oh, run to Vegas now. I'm pretty sure Southwest Airlines flies nonstop into Vegas from everywhere. Take some money and go play it. That's just my opinion.
And then the Brew Crew just under 80 at 79.5.
Well, now, let me tell you, everybody, I'm not a Brewers fan because I hate Ryan Braun and I hate Bud Selig. And everybody goes, well, why do you hate? Well, what does Bud Selig have anything to do with the Brewers? Please. You know, you're not old enough to understand. But they're expected to be much better this year.
Yeah.
That's where some value may come. But if the East, if the National League East is supposed to have, what, three teams that are like up near 90 wins, then there has to be a division in the National League that has not nearly as many wins near the top. And that might be the Central, and it probably is. And that's, you know, I love Milwaukee because John Nairn's their hitting coach. They've got some good players. They had a couple of young kids. Shortstop was phenomenal last year. Their center fielder was phenomenal. They've got Ryan Wood, I think, is their left-handed pitcher. He's a stud. He was an all-star pitcher last year. They're going to be okay.
So to recap those standings, you got the Cardinals, Reds, Pirates, Brew Crew, Cubs.
Yes.
That's your Central.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
All right, the West?
Yeah.
The West, the Dodgers lead the West and all of baseball at, where is it, 92.5.
I'm taking the under because I'm just not playing a favorite. Everybody's going to be on that. They're probably going to play it up, too.
The Arizona Diamondbacks are at 80.5.
That's your best value in that division by far. It's not even close. They are so underrated. What they're saying in Vegas with that line with Bovada, at least that's what Bovada is saying, is that they're going to have a losing record. Barely. But they're going to have you said it was 80.5,
80
right?
And a half, yeah.
So that means that 81.5 is how many they're going to lose.
That's 500.
I think that Arizona could be the wild card in the National League. They could be one of the wild cards, in my opinion. I like Arizona.
They have great
starting pitching. They got a lot of guys. Yeah, Paul Goldschmidt is arguably the best player, the best hitter in the National League. They're going to be tough. They have some holes to fill. Mm-hmm. They have some bullpen holes to fill. But I think they have a winning record, no question. The West is a great division, by the way.
San Diego Padres would be the next up in line there at 78.5.
Yeah, I would take the under here. Padres are never going to win with Bud Black as their manager, and they're never going to win if they're only spending $50 or $60 million a year, you know, or $70 million a year on their roster.
Your boys, the San Francisco Giants, who finished fourth in this
division
last year.
Yeah, they struggled last year with a lot of injuries and just a lot of bad luck.
Looks like Vegas thinks that they're going to have a little bit of bounce back year.
Oh, yeah.
At 86.5, above the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, when you win two World Series in 4 years, you know, you've proven you can do it in the offseason, in the postseason, but you haven't proven. You still got to get the wins. Their pitching staff's pretty phenomenal. They added Tim Hudson to that staff as a free agent from Atlanta. Timmy Hudson's probably going to be their three. Timmy Lincecum's probably really their four. Baumgartner's their one. Kane's their two. And they'll have a bunch of guys fighting over it. Well, right now it's Ryan Vogelsong, who threw two shutout innings the other day, and they say he looked good. He was throwing 88-90. So It looks like Rye's doing fine, too. So Angel Pagan is supposedly healthy. He's 100%, but he hasn't played much because his back was acting up on him. And, you know, when you rip a quad tendon, a hamstring tendon in your leg, and he came back at the end of the season and played a little bit, but, you know, there's going to be a lot of different stuff going on with you, with your body.
The rumor out in San Francisco, at least what I've heard, is that big time Timmy Jim may end up in a bullpen situation.
No, Timmy is going to eventually be a closer. I've said that every year. When Timmy started struggling 2 years ago when they won the World Series, I said, put him in the pen. Let him be your closer. They did, and he didn't give up one earned run, and he was phenomenal. And they won their second ring. Timmy will end up a closer. He's not a closer yet. Romo's got that job right now. Mm-hmm. Heath Hembree, they got another guy that's going to be pretty good. He's like 6'6", 235, 40 pounds. He had a rough time. He like made an error, threw a ball away, and had a wild pitch to lose a game this week in the ninth inning. But he's tough. Now, their bullpen is strong. They got Javi Lopez. They got Jeremy Affeldt. What the Giants have to be able to do is they have to be able to score 4.5 runs a game. If they can score 4.5 runs a game and get the pitching that they need to get, they can't have Matt Cain do what he did last year, which is have an ERA over 5 until the All-Star break. Mm-hmm. He just didn't look right. And it wasn't that there was anything wrong with his arm. His location was horrible, you know. And Zito didn't have a good year. And, you know, and Baumgartner was awesome, but he was it. Timmy was really bad early part. No, I say the Giants. What did you say the total was? 86.5?
86.5, yeah.
I'm going to pass on that. That might be a good number. And by the way, that number might get them in as a wild card.
That number sits them at second in the West.
Yeah, 87. You know, they would be 87 and 75, right? Yes. That's what their record would be. They'd be 12 games over 500. Yeah. And they would that should be a wild card. It depends on what the East proves. Mm-hmm. Like if Washington, you know, Washington and Atlanta should both be in too, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I just think Washington and Atlanta, I think San Francisco. See, I'm leaving the
Arizona.
Dodgers are good. Everybody thinks the Dodgers will be there.
So you're leaving Arizona out?
No, that in my opinion, Arizona could end up having as good a year as LA. I think LA's two things are gonna happen. Look at their starters. Mm-hmm. Can we do this real quick?
Sure.
I agree with everybody. Carl Crawford, nobody knows what's going to happen with Carl Crawford. They might as well not have gotten him. The Dodgers waste so much money. They got Adrian Gonzalez is at first base, Roy.
Mm-hmm.
He's just an accident looking for a place to happen. He's consistent, but he's not that good. When he's on the bases, he can't run. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
He's a good defensive first baseman, you know, pretty good kid. Hanley Ramirez. When Hanley's 100%, he's unstoppable. When he's injured, he doesn't help you at all because he's on the bench. He's on the DL, right? Juan Uribe signed another 1 or 2 year deal. I think he signed a 1 year deal for like $8 million this year.
Mm-hmm.
He had a great finish to last year. He had a super season at the age of 34, 35. Uribe gets hurt a lot. Matt Kemp gets hurt a lot.
Yeah.
Those guys get hurt a lot. Anyway, we'll be back in a minute. We're going to have Steve Buckhantz on at the turn of the hour, the voice of the Washington Wizards.
Yep.
Be back in a minute on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play it, just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We will be joined shortly by Steve Buckhantz, the voice of the Washington Wizards, who currently sit in the number 2 spot in the Southeast Conference behind the Miami Heat, ahead of the Charlotte Bobcats, Hawks, and the low Orlando Magics. Currently, there are if the playoffs began today, Bruce, four teams out of the Southeast Conference would be in the playoffs. That is with the Miami Heat as the 2 seed behind the Indiana Pacers, the Washington Wizards as the 5 seed behind the Chicago Bulls and Toronto Raptors. The Charlotte Bobcats, believe it or not, would be a postseason team if the playoffs ended today as a 7 seed. And the Atlanta Hawks would be the 8 seed in the East.
You know, they had Nene go down recently with what looks to be a knee.
Yep, knee injury.
And he's probably going to be out for a while.
Mm-hmm.
What it did for Gortat, their center, was it opened him up. Because and they were talking about it last night, and when Buck calls, we'll talk about that. But when what it did was it when he gets more involved with the offense, he plays better on the defensive side too. And, you know, as much of a team player as Gortat is, he probably doesn't want to overstep his bounds with the offense of Nene, you know, who's a beast himself. I mean, he's a big guy. And I watched that game last night. I mean, they played with the 76ers, especially late in the game. There really wasn't a lot to it that I saw. But you know, I mean, anything can happen there. Let's take a look at the Nets real quick.
Sure.
I mean, the Brooklyn Nets made some changes, and everybody thought that they were going to be able to you know, be better this year. And I don't know how much better they've actually got. You know, I don't really follow the Nets as much as I should, but the times I've seen them play, they just don't seem to run the floor all that well. Mm-hmm. They've got some talent.
Well, the biggest story that they've had in recent weeks, really, is Jason Collins and the re-signing of – or I should say the signing of him. It's not a re-signing, although it kind of feels like it, as he was a member of the Boston Celtics team a couple of years ago with where Garnett and Paul Pierce played with him. So they're both familiar. You know, there's that familiarity there. But, you know – the Nets offseason, the signings that they brought in and with the trade and you know, the new coach and Jason Kidd, they were a very flashy team, you know. You know, Jay-Z was finally getting off the team, so now they could almost be considered a real basketball team. They weren't famous anymore, and they weren't being talked about anymore because of their high-profile owner in Jay-Z. Now they were just going to be a really good basketball team, and you haven't quite seen that yet with the Brooklyn Nets. Although they are the 2 seed in the Atlantic Conference, they're the 6 seed in the Eastern Conference right now if the playoffs were to begin, so they're not a bad basketball team, they're just not living up to the hype.
Yeah, we got Steve on the line. Steve, is that you, buddy?
Yeah, Bruce, how you doing?
Hey, thanks for calling in. I was listening to you late last night. We're on the phone right now with Steve Buckhance, the voice of the Washington Wizards, and Steve, you were the voice of the Washington Bullets, too, weren't you?
When they first started, yeah, it was 1997. They hadn't switched the name yet. So the year I started, which was the year I left Channel 5, they were the Bullets. And then that year, we started at the Capitol Center, and then they switched over to what was the MCI Center, and that was in 1997, and that's the year they changed the name from the Bullets to the Wizards.
Yeah, and now there's some even talk. Roy was telling me, we were talking about this earlier, some talk about them going back to the Bullets possibly. They have gone back to the uniform style. It looks just like the red, white, and blue Bullets that it used to.
Yeah, that was obviously a conscious move that Ted Leonsis wanted to make to get back to more of what the team was like. But changing the name back to the Bullets, I don't know if that will happen. I mean, he's been a lot more hesitant to do that. I think, you know, clearly respecting the wishes of that Abe Pollin had.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But in the same sense, I know he feels a sense of the history of the team, and he's represented that by bringing in alumni, Bobby Dandridge and Phil Chenier and all these guys that we see on a regular basis at the arena. And then on the road, we have guys on the air. We had Elvin Hayes on the air this year and Bernard King. We had Stan Love and all of these old ex-Bullets that we see around he has to get involved in. So I don't know if he'll ever change the name back to the Bullets, but that topic is certainly one for conversation.
Well, I tell you what, you know where I grew up, and I know where you grew up, Arlington, Virginia, and we were always big fans of the NBA. I can remember playing card games with guys named Don Ohl and Earl of Pearl Monroe, and I mean, you know, the guys that when the Bullets originally started, they were in Baltimore, And I used to go up for ball games from time to time. And that was a long time ago. But let's talk about this Eastern Division of the NBA. And there's some opportunity there for a lot of teams right now. And I was listening a little bit to the coach talk the other day. But, Buck, you were pointing out some great stuff last night. Talk to us a little bit about Nene going down. Now, the Wizards, they've lost. They've won like five or six games in a row, correct?
They've won six straight, which was is the longest win streak since season before last. They finished the season winning six straight, which was a disastrous season, but they finished on a high note and they won six straight. And the last time they've won seven in a row, which they'll have the opportunity to do tomorrow night against Memphis, would have been in 2005. 2005 is the last time they won seven straight. So they're playing pretty well. And it's going to be difficult without Nene because we've all seen what he's capable of doing and how the team plays with him in there. But to their credit, they've picked it up with him not there the last couple of games, and they've been able to win, and they've done it with inspired play from guys like Trevor Booker and then the backup guys that have been coming into the game, like Al Harrington and Andre Miller and some of these other fellows. And, of course, Marcin Gortat has now had seven consecutive double-doubles, and he's been pretty incredible.
Gortat, to me, is the key to this team. I mean, John Wall is going to get better. He's got upside still, in my opinion. You were pointing out there's a big difference between playing point guard in the NCAA at a high level and playing point guard in the NBA, and it does take some time. John's still a young kid, but Gortat, since Nene went out, to me, just looks like he's more involved, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Am I making that up, or is that happening?
Well, no, I think, and he's conscious of that. In fact, he came out and he said it. He said, look, with him out, I've got to be a more of a focal point on offense. And that doesn't mean you hog the ball, or that doesn't mean you go one-on-one or what have you. But it means when you get in a situation that presents itself where you have the basketball and you know you can score, or you think you can score, then you take the opportunity to do it. And he's not a wild player that's not inefficient. He doesn't catch the ball and shoot every time he gets it. In fact, most of the time he looks to pass. But he also is one of the best screen role players I've seen. And it's evident when you watch John Wall and even Bradley Beal and some of these other guys, when they get the ball, they look for him to roll to the basket. And he's very good at catching the ball and putting it off the glass. So I think he realizes that with Nene out of there and a guy that is capable of scoring 20 points a game, that he's going to have to pick up the slack a little bit. And, you know, and he's done that. And, of course, defensively, he came into the league last night or into the game last night, ranked 11th in the league in block shots. So he's doing it on both ends. He gets rebounds. He's almost averaging a double-double, just a shade under 10 rebounds a game. And, but, you know, I think you got to give credit to Ernie Grunfeld for picking him up at the beginning of the season because clearly Emeka Okafor wasn't going to be playing, and this guy has made a huge difference on the team.
You know, Steve, I appreciate you. We're talking to Steve Buckhans, the voice of the Washington Wizards. You had a big event. Steve, can I keep you on the line for the next segment, to start the next segment real quick?
We've got
to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. More with Steve Buckhans when we come back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're on the phone with Steve Buckhans, the voice of the Washington Wizards, and an old friend of mine. Steve, thanks for staying on with us.
Sure, Bruce.
Let me ask you a question. You know, there's two teams, in my opinion, in the East right now. There's a lot of teams with some upside. There's some teams that may not have so much upside. I think the Wizards are definitely one of them, and I think the Wizards are going nowhere but up. And I'm really happy to see Ernie Grunfeld with a smile on his face again. But the thing of it is anybody going to be able, including the Wizards, is anybody going to be able to compete with Indiana and with Miami this year?
Well, I think there's a there may be a difference in asking a question, will anybody be able to compete with them, and will anybody be able to beat them? The last 2 years, I've said I thought Miami would win the whole thing, and that's the ultimate goal, and at the end of the day, you can only say that about one team. That doesn't mean that you cast off all the other teams and say they're bad or they're not going to win the championship, so why even play the games? I mean, that's not what we're all about. And yet, only one team wins the whole thing. So I think that as you head into these playoffs, when you listen to the pundits and the experts talk about how weak the Eastern Conference is, it clearly, compared to the West, the teams don't have the same records. And they may be somewhat inferior when it comes to their records and the way they're playing things out right now. But when you get into the playoffs, and especially in the Eastern Conference, after 1 and 2, and you look at the next, you know, 5 teams or 6 teams, they all have the ability to perhaps win the first round and then get into a competition. That doesn't mean they're going to win it. That doesn't mean that you even put any credence on it. But the fact of the matter is, if the Wizards finish 5th, which is where they are right now, which means that if we started today, they'd play Chicago in the first round. That could be a heck of a battle. That could be a good series. And one of those teams is going to win, and it could even be Washington, which means you'd go on to the next round. Will you ultimately beat Indiana or Miami? Probably not. But I think it's going to be a lot more competitive than people think. And, you know, Toronto is a very good team. The Wizards played them in a triple overtime game the other night. They're a very good team. Chicago is better than people think. I'll tell you what, Bruce, Charlotte is better than people think, and they're coming. They're right behind, you know, Brooklyn. So all these teams have the ability to turn it on at the end of the season, and I don't think it's going to be as bad as everybody thinks in terms of how much weaker the Eastern Conference is. Will they be able to ultimately beat Indiana or Miami? Probably not, but I think it's going to be more competitive than people think.
Nene is supposed to be out, what they're calling, 4 to 6 weeks, you know, with the MCL sprain. Can they move through the postseason without Nene? I know Gortat had 31 points in that triple overtime game that you were just talking about against Toronto, who's apparently a rival of the Wizards now all of a sudden. That's almost come out of nowhere, but you know, it's big in D.C. now. But are they going to be able to beat Chicago or whoever it is in the first round of the postseason if Nene's not ready to go?
I guess that remains to be seen. From what I've seen recently, it's clear that it's not just going to be Gortat. It's going to be a collective effort with the rest of the guys, meaning fellows like Trevor Booker are going to have to step up their game. Al Harrington's going to have to step up his game. All of these other players have to get physical and have to get big and have to rebound, and they've done that. Now, they've beaten 6 teams. They haven't beat some of the elite teams, but Toronto was a heck of a win in their environment. And they'll start off with a couple of games coming up against 2 teams that beat them on the road. Memphis is a pretty good team. Utah, not a very good team, but they still beat Washington. And then they go to Milwaukee, which is a game they should probably win, although Milwaukee's beaten them this year. And Miami, a team that's beaten them, but a team that Washington beat badly when they came here to play. So they have the ability to do that, and I don't think it's just going to be Gortat. I think it's going to be a lot of other guys. So to answer your question, I think they can compete even without Nene. Getting him back will be big if they can make the postseason. But I think it's going to be a collective effort. It's not just going to be one guy. And I think they can do it.
Buck, I have a question to ask you. You know, we have our listening area is big in New York. And, you know, the Knicks are New York's team for the most part, even though, the Brooklyn Nets certainly are doing a good job with their move. Do you see the Knicks kind of coming out of this funk somehow? How are they going to be able to rebuild that team?
Well, I thought that in January – that they were starting to turn it around, and I started to look at them as a team that was going to probably sneak in and make the playoffs, and who knows what kind of damage they could do. But this last month obviously has been fairly disastrous. I'm sure at some point they can come out of it, but the way that team was built and the money that was spent and the salary cap issues, it really put a harness on them. And sometimes I look at it and I shake my head a little bit, because all really great teams have to be built around at least one great player and maybe 2 or 3 like Miami. But you look at New York and you've got Carmelo Anthony, and he's a great player. I mean, he's one of the best scorers I've ever seen. and they have a number of other good players on the team. But for whatever reason, they're not playing together, and they make a lot of mistakes, and that surprised me to no end. So I really am puzzled by that. I think to answer your question, yeah, they'll come out of it at some point. I don't know if it'll be next year or the year after. It may take a few years because of the salary cap and what they did and when Isaiah Thomas was there and things of that nature. But right now they're really puzzling to me, and it's just amazing how inconsistent they can be.
In the mid-2000s with Gilbert Arenas and Jamison, Caron Butler, that was kind of the Wizards' big three. And you know, they made a bunch of postseason runs, and it kind of re-energized the city of D.C., at least for basketball is concerned. Now we see John Wall and we see Bradley Beal and we see this young core, and now we hear John Wall talking about trying to court Kevin Durant in a couple of years. Is that a real possibility to bring in, if not Durant, a big-name free agent into Washington? I mean, has D.C. basketball been built back up that quickly through John Wall and Beal?
Well, I think it has to start somewhere, and you have to have the foundation to do that. And we weren't so sure about that the last few years, but the way things have emerged this season with the way John Wall has developed his game and learned how to play, and as you guys said, you know, it doesn't always start where your point guard or your terrific player is great the first year. We witnessed that so many times with so many other players. He's taken 4 years to develop, and he's turning into one of the better guards in the NBA. And now Bradley Beal, we can see how good he can be. And the two of them could be good for a long time, hopefully in the same backcourt and hopefully here in Washington. But that's the foundation you have to start with. And once you do that, and once you start winning some games and showing people that you have the ability to play that way, then some of these guys around the league take notice. You know, people said, well, nobody wants to come to Washington because they don't win and they haven't won in a long time, and you know, who wants to play there? Well, fact of the matter is, back in the day when Bruce, when you and I used to go see them play at Capitol Center, it was one of the most raucous crowds I've ever seen. I mean, this is a basketball city. Mm-hmm. There's no question about that, and it's produced some of the greatest basketball players of all time. So I think that people do take notice of it, but you have to give them a consistent product. You have to give them a winner for consistently, not just in and out. And if this team can start to do that, then you'll see these free agents sit up and take notice and say, yeah, I want to go play with guys like John Wall and Bradley Beal, and I think we can do something. I mean, Oklahoma City is not a hotbed of the NBA, but that team is, and those people love it, and they go there in droves, and they're rabid fans. So if you give a place a consistent winner and a good product, they'll come out and support it.
You know, I couldn't agree more, Steve. My son, Davis, was in Memphis, the University of Memphis, for a year. And I went out there and watched a playoff game with the Grizzlies. I have never been in a more raucous, fun, loud arena. And you know how many that seats? That's a big arena.
Yeah.
In Memphis. And I got to tell you, you know, Memphis had, you know, lately they've been on the board when it comes to college basketball and some in the professional basketball with the NBA. I mean, they had a really good team there. And I listened to the game. I don't know where I was going, but I listened to the game earlier this year when we lost down there. And
right.
It was like I was still there because I remember exactly what it looked like. It was loud even for that game. You were there. I mean, that place gets crazy. I'd love to see that happen in Washington again. And I think the East is just, I think everything's cyclical. You know, I really do. I just think things are going to change. Randy Whitman, you know, one last thing I definitely want to talk about. I was impressed with this guy from the start. Tell us a little something about Randy and what you notice about this guy and what makes him different.
Well, he is very passionate, not unlike, I'm sure, every NBA coach and every coach that's involved in basketball or any sport for that matter. I mean, every coach I've ever seen is fairly passionate. But I like his focus. I like his resolve. I like the way he seems to be able to have a relationship with the players. You know what that's like. You can't have too much of a relationship because you're their coach, but you have to have their respect. I mean, that's clear to me. I've seen teams where coaches have lost the respect of some of these players, and that's it. They're done. especially in the NBA, where I feel like coaching is probably only about 40% of it and psychology is about 60% of it. You have to deal with 15 different personalities, these young millionaires, and how to handle all of them. And I respect that about him. I admire that about him. I think he's good at it. I also think he's a pretty good X's and O's coach. Sometimes these guys don't get the opportunity to coach a David Robinson or a Tim Duncan or a Kobe Bryant or a LeBron James. Sometimes you get stuck coaching in Cleveland or Minnesota or whatever. Not to say that they didn't have some good players and that Kevin Garnett wasn't a great player when he was there, but sometimes you don't get the benefit of having that whole team that's going to take you to a championship, and you sort of fizzle out. Well, he's had the opportunity here to do something good, and I think he's a very, very good coach. He's a terrific guy. We really like him. He's a regular guy. I was working in Atlanta when he came to the Hawks from the Bullets, who drafted him. And that was the same year Doc Rivers came out as well. And I got to cover him a little bit there. So I've known him for a long time, and I think he's a good guy. I think he's a good coach. And, if you look at the team, I think he's done some terrific things with this team. I mean, this isn't a team full of superstars. It's got one great player and some other very good players, and they're competing. They're at 500, and I'm glad they gave him the opportunity, Bruce, because I think he's a good guy and a good coach. I think he's capable of doing some good things.
You know, I don't think I've ever seen Randy in a press conference say anything embarrassing about anybody, and he, to me, seems to back up his kids a lot.
And he also... You know, give him credit. He doesn't candy coat anything.
Right.
He says what he thinks, and if the team's not playing well, he talks about it. I've seen coaches that really try to cover up and protect people, and not to say that he's calling anybody out. He won't do that, but he'll tell you when the team's not playing well and what has to be done, and you can tell he's not happy about it. So, you know, I'll tell you a story. The other day, I forget where we were. I think we were in Atlanta. And I went up to him after the game in the locker room, and I said, I don't know how you guys do this, between battling games where you lose close games, where officials make calls like the call in Houston, which was really unfortunate. I mean, here was the most senior referee in the league who fell for the oldest trick in the book when James Harden grabbed Trevor Ariza and dragged him to the ground. It was really unfortunate that they lost that game because they should have won it. But I went up to him after this game. I said, I don't know how you don't just have your stomach all turned upside down in knots and everything else. And he looked at me. He says, oh, I do. He says, I'm nuts. He said, I'm blanking nuts. And he meant it. He looked right at me, and I could tell it in his eyes that these guys get crazed because it's a tough job, man. I wouldn't want it. I wouldn't want it for a minute, and I don't know how they do it. But he's persevered, and I really like the guy. I think he's a good dude. All this whole coaching staff are a lot of good guys.
Steve, I can't thank you enough for coming on. It's always great to talk to you, and always great to hear your voice. And last night it was just I don't know. As I get older, I appreciate things a lot more. Steve Buckhantz, Comcast Sportsnet. He is the voice of the Washington Wizards. And if you ever want to know anything about Steve or know anything about the Wizards or know anything about the NBA, you're on Twitter, Steve, at Steve Buckhantz, BUCKHANTZ. Correct?
Thanks, Bruce. I appreciate it,
Hey,
man.
Listen, I can't thank you enough, Buck. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, take care, buddy.
Yep. I tell you what, they don't get any better than that guy. We'll be back in a minute with more Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
You know, it's that time of year again, besides tomorrow when it's going to completely dump on us in snow. Other than that, though,
we have a weather report coming.
Other than that, it is completely beautiful out.
13 inches is what I'm supposed to get.
And you can start to smell the clean-cut grass, tee times. It's about time to start re-gripping your clubs. And in that, great
so
spirit.
So not MLS season.
Definitely not. It's never MLS season.
Just don't throw your snow shovel away. Don't store your snow shovel yet.
Not yet. Tuesday.
Throw it in your bag.
I keep a snow shovel in my truck.
Mine is on my front porch, just leaned up against the house. Knowing it's coming. If you are one of those people who is re-gripping their clubs, or maybe you just want to see what Bruce and I actually look like in real life, you can wander to the Westchester County Center next weekend, March 8th and 9th. In White Plains, from Saturday, it is at 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., or Sunday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., and, shake our hand. We'll give out some T-shirts, maybe, some high fives. We'll be definitely giving out some high fives.
I'll give you some 8x10s that I pre-signed that you can hand out.
We will throw those away.
That won't happen.
So no one will ever have to have one of those, and we'll talk some golf, and it's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. I'm pumped about it, which last year's... golf, we did this. We were at the Westchester Golf last year.
Ended up buying my driver
And I bought the irons. I bought the rocket.
And it's
balls.
Not because I got a great deal on it. It's just because. And by the way, you can get good deals. No, you can get good deals at this golf show.
I bought this hat for $5. It's a good deal.
Did you pay cash for it?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can always negotiate with cash.
I just ran up to a kid, stole it off his head, and threw him a $5.
Let me tell you what the key is. The key is to go Saturday and Sunday. Because on Saturday, you meet everybody. On Sunday, they don't want to pack everything up and ship it, so they'll sell to you cheap.
That's right.
I'm Bruce Hall, and I've worked shows before. Mm-hmm. Hey, we're going to have Mike Diffley, who is the 2013 Met Section PGA Teacher of the Year in the PGA. He's the head pro at Pelham Country Club, and he's going to talk about college recruiting, developing junior golfers, and he's going to have a question and answer session. Then we're going to have Brian Kroll, who we know, who's from Glen Arbor. He's the head pro at Glen Arbor. He's a great guy. Slice Free Golf. Remember that book?
Yeah,
I got that book.
I have it too, yeah.
Brian will be back. Tom Sutter, who's from Dunwoody Golf Course. He was the 2004 Met PGA Teacher of the Year. And he's going to review Tiger's swing with Butch Harmon, Hank Haney, and Sean Foley. How would you coach Tiger? You know, I just like to watch Tiger. Yeah. I don't coach him.
Well, which Tiger, I believe he...
Tiger shot 65 yesterday
under even for the first time in a while.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I mean, what Tiger has done is he has spent a ton of time with his children. And which he should do, because he knows
how... And
Lindsey Vonn,
which...
He didn't let her go to... Sochi.
I wouldn't let her go.
Yeah, he didn't let her go. I got a feeling that had a little bit to do with, you know, a lot of things.
And her knee. But other than that, it's probably the toilets. Let's blame the toilets in reality.
Well, they weren't that bad. I even talked to Wise about it. By the way, Mike Wise's cousin won a gold medal. We've had Mike Wise on the show. He's a writer for the Washington Post. His cousin, who's like 22 years old, won that wild ski flipping contest, like skateboards. Yeah, I forget what they call it, but he won a gold medal. His cousin. I mean, what luck. And by the way, Mike took his whole family over there. Debbie Doniger, going back to the golf show, she's the director of instruction for the LPGA at Glen Arbor Country Club. And she's going to talk about how to improve your game during the off season. Well, that's when I'm at my best, during the off season. Brian Mahoney at 1:30, managing director. On Saturday, he's going to talk about rules and competitions.
I would say we had him on last year.
Yep, he's going to talk about the rules of golf. Max Galloway is from Mahanzik Golf Course. At 2:15, he's going to speak. And at 3 p.m., Charlie Mayola from Saxon Woods Golf Course is going to have an open forum. You ask the swing questions, Charlie will answer. That's the kind of coach I need. By the way, I'm a lot better caddy and coach than I am a player. I love to caddy. Caddying is one of the best jobs in the world, because all you get to, you get paid to shut up and carry the bag.
Speaking of caddies, yes, we have to give a moment of remembrance. I know it's one of your favorite movies, Caddyshack. Harold Ramis passed away. The best story of this week has been CBS News. They had a reporter that asked the Dalai Lama whether he gave Bill Murray total consciousness on his death.
And what was the answer?
He didn't answer. Because he's the Dalai Lama. Of course he's not going to answer a question about
Caddyshack. China loves it every time we talk to the Dalai Lama. because evidently he's in hiding from the Chinese government. But I like the Dalai Lama because he made light of having gas on some thing I saw on YouTube. He's a pretty funny guy, actually. Mm-hmm. And he seems to be just a great dude.
He's apparently never played golf, but he has played ping pong.
That's similar.
Yeah. That's they asked him about that, too.
Why don't we do that? Why don't we finish up our little baseball thing? Tony's going to call in at the three quarters of the hour, supposedly. And he's going to give us. I wish we had this on video.
I bet you he's not going to have information outside about the Dalai Lama.
He's going to be outside.
Right. You don't have any of that.
He's going to be outside. But we're going to talk a little bit more about baseball, and we're going to give you the best runouts because we're running out of time. We're in spring training. You know, we're in the first week of spring training, actual games right now in Arizona and Florida, and I am actually watching more baseball and listening to more baseball right now than I do during the season because during the season. In June and July, I'm coaching baseball, mm-hmm. so I don't have to watch as much because I'm all over it. I'm living the dream, so to speak. Have you got your?
I do have it up.
Let's. Where did we leave off? We left off the National League West.
Yeah.
We were done with it. What I did was I picked the Dodgers are expected to be there, but don't play the over under because it's too high.
Quickly recap that it is Dodgers. The order goes Dodgers, Giants, Diamondbacks.
Colorado.
Padres, Colorado.
Well, you know what? Colorado, I say 4, Padres 5. And the Padres, the Padres did a good job last year, and they actually had a decent season last year. I don't see that happening again. I see Colorado getting better. I just do. They've got a great, great attitude in spring training, too.
And well, they have to have a great attitude out in Colorado.
Well, we talked to Michael Kadire twice this past year, and Cuddy, you know, won a batting championship. Mm-hmm. So now I have to go interview him again because, you know, they're superstitious, and I'm going to go interview Cuddy. I love Cuddy. And I'm superstitious, and I want him to win another one. Do you remember when I told you last year? It had to be September. What was Michael Kadire's batting average with a 1-ball, 2-strike count? It was like 467.
Did he know that when he told
him? No, I'm sorry. It was like, yeah. No, he didn't know it.
He was like, oh, thanks, Bruce.
No, he didn't know it because I interviewed him in spring training, goofball. I'm Bruce Hall, and I interviewed him in spring training, goofball. All right, Roy, let's go to the American
East?
League. Yes.
AL East.
This is what everybody wants to hear.
The Boston Red Sox.
What's their total?
87.5. Followed by the New York Yankees in that division. The New York Yankees are 86.5.
All right, I'm going to pass on the Red Sox. I'm going to take over on the Yankees. I like the Yankees this year. I do. Unless they get everybody injured, which is entirely possible. Unless they get everybody injured, they're going to win 90, 91, 92 games this year. I really think they are because I think Tanaka is the real deal. Mm-hmm. And I really think CC is going to have a decent year, and I think Pineda is going to be fine, and I think that their bullpen is going to be wonderful. Because they have guys, they're very similar to San Francisco. They have guys in AAA that pitch that should be on a major league team somewhere. Their pitching is pretty thick, you know, into the minor leagues. Mm-hmm. Their hitting is not. You know, they need a hitter, they just go out and buy one for $10 million a year or so. All right, who else? Baltimore.
Despite all of the hype around those two teams, it's actually the Tampa Bay Rays who have the highest win projection at 88.5. So it's 88.5 for the Rays, 87.5 for the Sox, and 86.5 for the Yanks.
I'm going to say leave the Rays alone because I think it's going to be under, probably. And how about Baltimore?
80.5 for the O's.
I go over there. There's no way they don't win 84, 85 games.
The Baltimore O's.
I like the O's. I love the O's.
Baltimore O's. And all then right. the Toronto Blue Jays, 79.5 at the bottom.
All right, we're going to come back to that in a minute. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute with more.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're finishing up the MLB here.
Yes, we are.
We just ran down the the AL East. The AL East, as says Bovada out in Vegas, it goes Tampa Bay, Boston, New York, Baltimore, Toronto.
I'm taking the over in Baltimore. I wouldn't play Toronto with your money. I just can't. I mean, they're from Canada.
It's just setting up another Drake song.
Unless it's a comedy show, I don't even want to watch it.
Starting at the bottom.
What else?
So where do you want to go now? The AL Central?
Yes.
Okay. The AL Central. I guess we should start in alphabetical
Mazur
order,
should be calling in with our weather report for our New York listeners.
So the White
Sox. And our Connecticut listeners and our New Jersey listeners. And our Virginia listeners and our Maryland listeners, our Delaware listeners, our Pennsylvania listeners.
I just looked it up. We're all just in the same boat.
You know what I noticed? We're right in the middle.
Yeah, it's aimed at us. It was north and it came south.
And we thought that we were in good shape because we weren't going to get any ice. Yeah, we are. We're going to get an inch of ice, then 13 inches of snow. Yeah. So what's the difference? I think my son is calling in sick tomorrow.
I'm not going to work tomorrow.
Oh, my God. You just told us today that you're not going into work? You liar!
I'm not.
We need to record that. Liar!
We're going to send this to OPM, man.
Hey, what makes you think that I work for OPM?
Oh, my God.
Right. Huh?
You work for Obama.
I don't do that. You don't know that?
Oh, I'm sorry. We're going to tell your boss, Mr. Obama.
No, I can tell you right now that I'm not going.
Oh, you know, Helen Merulis just DM'd me. I got to DM her.
I have a two-hour commute to work, so even if my said office is open tomorrow, I'm not going. I will give them my leave. I'm sure that it will be a unscheduled leave day. Let's just say, use those terminologies.
Let's continue to do baseball real quick.
The Chicago White Sox, 75.5. I'm going in alphabetical order at this point. So 75.5 for the Chicago White Sox.
Pass.
Cleveland Indians 80.5.
Over.
Detroit Tigers 89.5.
I'm going to go out. You know what? Everybody's picking Detroit. I'm going to pass on that. I don't think they may not win 90 games. I just don't. Cleveland's going to be better, I think. Keep going.
Twins 70.5.
I'm going to take over. I think that's very underrated.
And
they get Josh Willingham back healthy this year, at least for a while.
Who am I missing out of the Central? Kansas City, or are they out west?
No, Kansas City's in the Central.
Okay, then Kansas City, 81.5 to round it out.
You know what? For the first time in generations, Kansas City goes over.
Over 81.5.
Yes.
So you think they're above a 500 team?
Our new board op, Kenny, he's apparently a big KC fan because he's.
I like Kansas City.
He's blowing up my Skype.
What do you want,
saying,
Kenny?
Royals are going to be awesome. So
the Royals are going to be awesome.
Just for that, I say under 81.5. They're going to be a 71 win team.
Kenny,
and they're suck.
Kenny, don't think we're not listening
get out
to
here,
you,
Kenny.
This is all reprisal for the golf show information.
That's what this is. Kansas City Royals will suck next year. Record that. Put that in a loop. Put that on the soundboard. So then we'll go.
Is that everybody?
Yeah, I believe so.
Hey, let's hear. This is for Allen Iverson going into the 76er Hall of Fame. Let's just play this one more time.
Should we play that?
In my opinion, this is one of the greatest recordings of all time.
It's right up there with practice. I Want to Kiss You.
Go ahead.
Not a game. We talking about practice. Practice, man. I mean, how silly is that?
I love Allen Iverson.
How silly is that?
How silly is that?
That
man?
Is silly.
So good.
I love Allen Iverson.
And play every game like it's my last. Not the game. We're talking about practice, man. I mean, how silly is that, man? We're talking about practice.
That is silly.
I love Allen Iverson.
I did, too. I loved watching him play. You know, when he was in high school, at Bethel High School, he was the most sought-after college football recruit in the nation.
He's a quarterback.
You know what he ran? The Veer. He ran a 4.440.
He's fast.
And you know, He kept the ball a lot and scored a lot of touchdowns.
He had the best crossover.
We got Tony Mazur on the
all
phone.
Time.
Tony.
Hello. Hello, fellas.
It's great having you.
How we doing, Tone?
Are you getting...
I'm holding up.
Tell me everything. We're doing the special report, first time ever here on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
Yeah, that, you're our weatherman.
You're our weatherman.
I'm tired of the weather channels,
dude.
You're my guy. Because everything that goes through New York City comes through Cleveland first.
And D.C.
Yeah, talk to me.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, we do that with Chicago. Anything that happens in Chicago, we know we'll get it at some point. So, and by the way, Al Roker is from Cleveland, but we pretend like he's not from here. We're a little ashamed of old Al.
I thought he looked like the guy that beat on the drum a lot, you know, at the baseball games.
Oh, yeah.
Just move along, Tony. Move along.
Hey, Tony. How many inches of snow do you guys have right now?
Oh, okay. Just making sure we're talking about snow.
Yeah.
I'm looking outside my window here, and the roads are completely covered in snow. I'd say maybe like 4 inches, 5 inches have fallen in like the last 12 hours.
So it started last night.
Is it still snowing, Tony?
Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah. My God. So it's a wide storm, too.
Yeah, this is not good. Not at all good.
Tony, I'd also like to point out that the snow is ruining your birthday, correct? Is today your birthday?
Happy birthday, Tony.
That's correct. Oh, thank you very much.
27?
No, it's the climate change, because we can't say global warming anymore, but we could say climate change, because sometimes on my birthday it'll be like 65 and sunny, and other times it's currently 14 degrees and just blowing snow. So it's just a mixed bag we have here in Cleveland for my birthday. I think that means, because I'm heading to Florida next week, so I just need to get out of here.
They just wanted to hit you one more time before
Tony, you're going to the wrong spot. You need to be going to Goodyear to see the Indians, because I'll be out there the 16th through the 22nd. Why don't you go to Arizona, man? I got a place for you to crash out there.
This is for you, Tony, by the way. We're not closing the show. We still got 7 minutes. We're just playing the song because
Matt's like that.
We want you to know that we appreciate you here.
We just don't want you to kill yourself. We know you're in Cleveland. We know it's snowing. This is the,
and the sun's
bad time
not,
of year.
Tony!
We love you, man.
You haven't answered my question. How come you don't go to Arizona?
It was expense purposes, because my brother goes to Ohio State and he's a broke college kid,
and he's
like, yeah, I can't afford that, and I'm not putting the bill for his flight or anything, so forget that. So we're gonna head on down to like the Tampa area and Orlando and go down to Disney and everything. It's been a while.
Oh, you'll have fun on the West Coast. That's where it's happening. You might get to see some baseball too. I think the Red Sox are like in. On the West Coast, and there's probably 4 or 5 teams on that side, and I think there's somebody in Orlando, too.
If you see the Toy Story characters, make sure that you yell out, Andy's coming.
Yep, Andy's coming, and then they fall to the ground.
That's right. Make sure you do that, because I want to know if that really happens. I have a friend who...
Yes, no, it really does. It actually does happen.
Well, that needs to happen, and you need to get that on video.
Hey, Tony, tell us about Cleveland real quick. You said they were playing some ball. What's up?
Well, as soon as I said that, because I was actually being optimistic about the Cavs, then they just took a dump on the coffee table last night against the Grizzlies. What I like is Spencer Hawes, and there are two free agents that, because let's face it, LeBron's not going to come back to Cleveland.
Right.
We're not... Let's stop kidding ourselves.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Well, that's always been the problem. And when Byron Scott was hired by the Cavs back in 2010, it was a few days before LeBron eventually announced he was heading to South Beach. But they asked then GM that they just fired about a month ago, Chris Grant, what's your plan A? And he said, well, plan A is we hope that LeBron will re-sign. Plan B is we hope that LeBron will re-sign. And, you know, there was a bunch of laughter and everything. But that's been their plan all along. So now it's 2014. You have a pending free agency. And now their plan is, well, we're hoping LeBron comes back.
not every town it can get lucky like that. And Clevelanders just need to just stop. So right now they have Luol Deng, who stinks. Luol Deng has been terrible, but Spencer Hawes has been good. But the problem is they have a really poor head coach, the guy who got fired after 5 games last year, and really no leadership. But I like the direction that the talent and the young roster are going in.
Well, speaking of Luol Deng, you guys got him in that trade where you finally got rid of Andrew Bynum. And everyone thought that Luol Deng was just going to be waived immediately, and for whatever reason, you guys have hung on to him, knowing that he's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. Is Luol Deng going to re-sign with you guys? I don't understand why he's still a Cleveland Cavalier.
Well, before the season, I guess he was in contract talks to remain with the Bulls, and he wanted $10 million a year, a 3-year contract, $10 million a year, and they said no. And Luol Deng, who I like, I thought he was going to have a veteran presence. He said no, I'm worth more than $10 million. That's insulting. So then they eventually traded him. The Bulls are the best, almost the best team in basketball since the start of 2014. Since they got rid of Luol Deng, I think they're like 22-8, and just going on a great run without arguably their best player.
Yeah, without them being able to score.
And so Deng's going to be an unrestricted free agent, but you would think in a contract year he'd play a lot better. But when you have more shot attempts than points made, not a good sign.
No, that's for sure. We're talking to Tony Mazur, our guy in Cleveland, and Tony, you're Yahoo Sports still, correct?
Yeah,
and at
yeah, still plugging along.
Yeah, at Tony Mazur, Mazur, and our favorite guy in the world. But listen, I got to tell you one thing. You got to tell me. We got less than a minute left here before we got to. You know how we shut off? We just cut off.
We just dump.
Matt gives us like 15 seconds, and it's really hard to do anything. Then
we have a full 3 minutes.
He gives a full 3 minutes. Thank you very much.
I haven't seen it.
But Tony, tell me what you want from a Goodyear. I'll bring you anything you want.
1 minute.
Tell me what you need.
Bring me back the Mike Trout's talent. Like, if you're going out to Tempe and going to see the...
I'll be there. I see Josh Hamilton every year.
Pull a Space Jam with the baseball and make him put his hand on it.
See if you can take a bunch of, like, carpet fresh or some baking soda and give it to Josh Hamilton and tell him it's the good stuff.
Yeah, no, I can't do that.
30.
Josh is the one that was responsible for getting me on the all-gluten diet that took a few pounds off of me. Now Josh is putting it back on. Tony, thanks for coming on,
happy
man.
Happy birthday.
Hey, happy birthday. I can't tell you. And you have many, many more birthdays to celebrate. Unfortunately, I don't have as many. So we'll talk to you next week. We'll talk to you. Hey, we'll talk to you. We're going to call you from the golf show. We'll be back next week.
All right.
On Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. See you guys later.
We sitting in here, I supposed to be a franchise player, and we in here talking about practice. We sitting in here, I supposed to be a franchise player, and we in here talking about practice. We sitting in here, I supposed to be franchise.